Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Welcome to the message of grace. It's good to have you here and for me to be there with you and to share the things that are important on our heart. We're the salvation people. That is, if you watch our program, we're always talking to you about being saved, and that's a real desire upon our heart to share God's wonderful message of salvation. There's a salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ that is a salvation from sin, salvation from the guilt of your sin, salvation from hell, salvation into heaven. And we do everything we can to make sure that you know about that, because it's absolutely free, paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, offered to you out of the love of God and by His grace. And to make sure you know about that, we do all kinds of things. And one of the things that we've done is we produce some literature. And we offer at the end of this program literature freely, but we also have some new literature that won't be on the screen at the end, and we might like you to see it just right now. It's over here, some literature that some people at Grace Bible Church actually put their money together and wanted you to have. We paid for it already, so you don't have to. It's free to you, and all you got to do is write to us here at the Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. And if you want, you can call me right there at the church at 313-775-0652. No, I gave you the wrong phone number, didn't I? 313-778-5032. That's the phone number you want. And you'll notice the little green book, and that's the salvation examination. That'll just talk to you about your salvation. And you can examine whether or not you're saved by the verses that are in there and what God said you must do to be saved. Now, that is something we want to talk to you about here today. And something that we always think about things in a physical sense. We are human beings. We have physical needs. We live on a physical earth. And the Bible, it has some physical things in it. When we have everlasting life, there's a physical resurrection. Israel was given some physical blessings from God in their program, that God was going to do some things on this earth, and it involved the nation of Israel, and if they would keep His laws, that their crops were going to grow, and He was going to pour out the windows of heaven upon them with blessings, and they would be free from sickness, they would be financially prosperous, and all these things. By the way, some try to say that that's what God is doing today. I just advise you to read what Paul writes to the Gentiles in Ephesians 1, and for instance, verse 3, when today the Bible tells us that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I find that God did change the program in the Bible from what He was doing with the nation of Israel to something different today that involves us, because see, God's eternal purpose for us involves the heavens, and that's a spiritual place. And we're going to be raised with a body. It's going to be physical, but it's going to be a spiritual body and able to inhabit the heavens someday, because that's God's purpose for His believers today. But there was always spiritual lessons that God wanted His people to know, even when He was giving Israel physical blessings. And the difference between Israel and the church, the body of Christ, is the difference between what we're blessed with today as compared to what Israel was blessed with in their day. And that is, we got the spiritual things from that God is promising us, and later we'll enjoy and inhabit the heavens. But Israel was the one that the prosperity message was given to, and when God quit dealing with the nation of Israel for a time and turned to the Gentiles, it was a different message and a different program. But Israel was failing even to get their spiritual message back when God was dealing with them in physical things. For instance, the Lord Jesus Christ came. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John records the ministry and how he healed, demonstrating to them that his promises were true. And yet, in all of what he was doing, there was a spiritual lesson. He told them, for instance, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And what he was just speaking about was food and shelter and protection. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things would be added unto you. And Israel wasn't doing that first. They were getting their eyes on the physical and wanted it, and totally stumbled over who Jesus Christ was and that he was the means by which they were going to get spiritual blessings and physical blessings. And because they were so physically minded, so fleshly minded, they were missing many truths that Jesus Christ shared with them. One of those truths I want you to see with me in Matthew chapter 14, and this is sometimes called the feeding of the 5,000. But it says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled and took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. What a miracle this was, that here there's a multitude, and we're given in the last statement there about how many there were. The Bible says there are 5,000 men besides women and children. Well, if there's 5,000 men, if half of them are married, then there's a couple thousand, 2,500 wives that are around there as well. And if some of them have kids, then you got another 2,500 just in the children. You easily have 10,000 people here. The Bible points out 5,000 men so that you'd realize what a multitude this is. And what did they get fed with? Well, when Jesus Christ would refuse to send them away from a desert place, they said, all we got is 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. And he said, bring them to me. And you know, when they took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and gave them to the Lord, it was sufficient. Not because there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it's because who they were given to. And all everything that's brought to the Lord, it's sufficient in his hands. And it's demonstrated in this, in that all those people sat down and they all ate until they were full. And then at the end they take up what's left and there's 12 baskets full that remain that's left over. A miraculous thing takes place there, and this was a miraculous thing that even slipped the apostles' mind. The disciples that are walking with the Lord, it tells us in chapter 16 of Matthew, that they just weren't getting a spiritual lesson. They looked at this and they saw, yes, indeed, this God of ours, this Lord of ours who has come from heaven is a mighty Lord. He's able to feed us. But they were to look at this and realize there's more than just physical food here. For instance, when you come to Matthew 16, it says in verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Leaven is like yeast that's put into the bread to make the bread rise. And so it's something that permeates a whole loaf of bread. And they begin to reason. It said in verse 7, they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? What does he mean, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? They're trying to figure this out. It says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves because we have brought no bread? Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5,000, the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets were taken up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I say unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had bad doctrine. They were bad doctrine that were being shared and permeated to the nation of Israel, getting their minds and their belief off of the Lord Jesus Christ and off of the promises of God and off of the kingdom onto their religious persuasion. And what he's talking about here, when he's talking about bread, he's not talking about physical bread. He said, beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees and Pharisees. But these disciples, even them, they're just looking so physically that they're not realizing that he's trying to teach them spiritual lessons. Sure, he did miracles, demonstrating the physical truths and the physical blessings that Israel was going to get. But he had a spiritual lesson in there at the same time, and their minds were totally letting that go. Even the disciples were letting it go. So there's a spiritual lesson behind the feeding of the 5,000. And with the five loaves and the two fishes. Now that spiritual lesson is easily seen in the very fact of where it took place. The Bible tells us they were in a desert place. Now what is a desert place but a dry, barren land where there is neither bread growing in the fields, wheat growing in the fields, or is there a place to go fishing for the meat that would sustain you? Bread is the most basic form of food that would sustain the body. And fish is the most basic form of meat that would sustain the body. And in a desert place, there's neither of that. A desert place is a deserted place. It's a dry, barren land. And that's very descriptive of the nation of Israel, because here the Lord Jesus Christ has come unto them sharing precious truths, and they don't even recognize who he is, and all they care about is them getting fed physically, and they're not learning the spiritual truths that he's trying to get to demonstrate to them. And the result of that, or what we see in that, is that they are dry in their spirituality, dead in their spirituality, barren for the things of the Lord. And you know, we learn a little bit more about the same truth if I take you over to the Gospel of John. By the way, the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all four Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And sometimes a Gospel writer will give you a little bit more detail. And what John does is not only give us more detail about the feeding of the 5,000, but he gives us more detail about the spiritual lesson behind that. We learn over here in John chapter 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 5. Said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great multitude come unto him, and said unto him, and said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said, to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered unto him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said, if we had all kinds of money and could go out and buy, we could only barely buy just enough for each one to have a little. Well, if you remember, we've already read how they ate until they were full. But one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I think of that little boy. He probably disappointed that day that he only caught a couple fish, and at that they were only small fish. Amazing thing, though, when it was brought to the Lord, how it was sufficient when it was put into the hands of the Lord. But he goes on and says, 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there were much grass there, and so the men sat down in number, about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed unto his disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise the fishes, when as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather ye up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered unto them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. That prophet is the prophet Moses. He's not the prophet. He is the one who wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and following. Moses said, there's going to be a prophet that's going to rise up unto you like unto me, and you better hear what he says, because the person who doesn't hear that prophet is going to be cut off from among the people. Now, you know, there's no way that you could have went back in the Old Testament and ignored what Moses said and be right with God. But Moses said, there's someone else that's going to come that's like me. Now, what did Moses do for the nation of Israel? Well, he led them through a dry, barren land. But when he led them through that land to their promised land, he was able to provide them, as he asked God for help, he provided them with bread from heaven, manna, and he supplied them with water out of the rock to drink. And Moses was able to feed multitude of people with bread and water in a desert place. And when these people saw what Jesus Christ did, some of them started catching on. And they said, "This is that prophet, the one who Moses said that there's more to come, more to learn, and you better hear that prophet. Because if you don't hear the words of that prophet," that's what a prophet does, speaks the word of God. And when he's calling Jesus Christ that prophet, I want you to understand Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of God. But he is the Christ of the nation of Israel. That is, he is their prophet, he is their priest, and he is their king, and he is the Christ. He is the prophet, the priest, the king. He's the only one that was all three to the nation of Israel. And as a prophet, they better listen to what he says. As a priest, they better come to him for the forgiveness of their sins. And as a king, they better acknowledge that he is the one that has the right to rule over them and establish the promised kingdom that was promised to their ancestor David. And so here, these people are catching on. This is that prophet. Why? He fed them like Moses fed them. But you know, at that point, it says in verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again unto the mountain himself alone." Now the reason he departed from them is because they were going to make him a king. Why? Because he was the Son of God that come down from heaven? Because they acknowledged who he was and the spiritual truths that he was teaching? No, they wanted to make him a king because who would be the best king in the world but someone who could feed you every day? You wouldn't have to get up and go to work. And that's what they were trying to do. It says down in verse 25, "When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence comest thou hither? And he said unto them, Ye say, verily, verily, I say unto you," And Jesus answered and said unto them, and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled." Now listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to tell them. "Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath the Father sealed." Jesus Christ is the sum and seal of everything that God the Father wants you to know and to realize is the means of life. And the Lord says, "You people are only seeking me because of the physical bread. Labor not for the meat that perisheth." He says, quit laboring for just the physical. For once in your life, stop and look at the spiritual teaching here. Look at who I am. I'm not just some man that's walking this earth. He's saying, "I am God who has come down from heaven to give you more than physical bread. I've come to give you everlasting life." And they weren't catching that. They were missing that. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 30, "And they said therefore unto him, What sign showest us thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Now that true bread is Jesus Christ. Verse 33 says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." What he's saying to them is, yes, you're getting the idea. I am like Moses who gave you bread, but I am the very bread itself. I've come down from heaven, not just manna coming down from heaven. I've come down from heaven so that if you'll come to me and believe on me, I will give you everlasting life. And so it's very clear what response he wants out of them. He wants them to come to him and to him in faith, believe on him, and they will be saved. In fact, he says it very clearly in verse 47, one of my favorite verses of the Bible. John 6:47 says, "Verily, verily," which means truly, truly, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." That's what the Lord is saying. Believe on me. He's calling for them to believe on him. He goes on to say, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, for I give it for the life of the world. Now when he says that the bread that he gives him is his flesh, because he gives his flesh for the life of the world, you know how he meant that he's given his flesh? He didn't mean, I'm tearing off pieces of my skin, come and eat it. He's talking about that he's going to go to a cross, and they're going to take a spear, and they're going to pierce his side, they're going to cut his flesh, they're going to bruise his flesh, they're going to put a crown of thorns in his flesh, and they're going to put a spear in his side, and he's going to be broken so that his blood can be poured out as a payment of their sins, so that those who believe on him can have everlasting life. When he says that he gives his flesh, he's talking about giving it to die on the cross, not giving it to eat in cannibalism. And I tell you that if you'll read the rest of this passage, you realize these Jews, after all that Jesus Christ said to them and demonstrated to them, they would not. They refused to look at the spiritual lesson that he was teaching. And all they could see is physical bread. And now they're going to start saying, oh, you mean we got to bite you and we got to eat your skin? That's cannibalism. That's gross. And the Lord Jesus Christ gets very sarcastic with them and begins to talk in that figurative language as a rebuke to them about eating his flesh, because they begin to think he's talking about cannibalism. And he's been telling them over and over again, don't look at the physical, look at the spiritual lesson, look what I'm trying to teach you. And he couldn't get their minds off the physical. You know, there's some people today that tell you that you can have your sins forgiven weekly if you just eat the communion service. And by eating the communion, the bread will actually become the body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine will actually become the blood of Christ, and then you'll be forgiven. But if you don't eat that, you won't be forgiven, because you won't be eating Christ's flesh and drinking his blood. But you know, that's in disrespect and disbelief of what this passage is about. This passage is not talking about physical eating. In fact, he says to them in verse 63, the Spirit quickeneth, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit you nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And he begins to talk to them about the words of life. And later on, Peter says, then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. He wanted them to receive his words. He's that prophet. He's got a message of life on who he is, and his flesh is going to be pierced so that they could be saved. And the way of salvation is to come unto him and to believe on him. And they end up believing in cannibalism. You know, it's an amazing thing in your Bible that most people don't like fundamentalists. And I would, if you want to call me, that's fine. I believe the Bible literally. But when the Bible literally says, take this spiritually, then I literally take it spiritually, if you understand my point. People who don't believe their Bible will take the plain words of God and spiritualize them. And then when God speaks in a spiritual way, they'll turn around and say, oh, that's literal. And the real problem is they just can't understand the Bible themselves, because they don't have ears that hear and eyes that see. And if they're not saved, you can't know the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned. No, this passage is telling us that Jesus Christ wants us to recognize him as the Redeemer. And you know, when you think about what was taught back there in Matthew chapter 14 about the five loaves and the two fishes, you begin to understand that what he's trying to say there is that I am the Redeemer, the bread of life. I'm the one that not only can feed you physically, yes, I can do that, I'm the Creator, that's easy for me. But I'm also someone else that you need to realize. I'm not just a man here, I'm not just a prophet here, I'm the Son of God come down from heaven to die on the cross to impart unto you that believe everlasting life. And so he is the Redeemer. And what do you begin to understand from this lesson? Well, as the Redeemer, he's a sufficient Redeemer. He was enough to fill all these people and had some left over. And that is what Jesus Christ is going to do when he died at Calvary, was plenty salvation, to be enough blood was shed, enough of the blood of Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of his blood was enough to pay for every last sin you ever did, but not just you, everybody else in this world. You see, five loaves and two fishes. Five in your Bible is the number of redemption. We live in the sometimes called the fifth dispensation of God, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of salvation, the day of salvation. The fifth book of your Bible is the second offering of the law to the nation of Israel, which is a type of the second birth of salvation. When you come to the book of the Bible where God actually installs the new birth to the nation of Israel, He poured out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Penta, that's five, and pentagram and so forth. That's the number five. Five in your Bible is the number of redemption, and that's what Jesus Christ is pointing here, the redemption that's in Him. Two in your Bible is the number of division. It's the number in which is able to be divided. And here He's dividing the fish and the bread among so many people. How many? 5,000. Number of redemption in multiples of thousands. And so two is the number of division. Israel was divided into two nations, the northern and southern tribes and so forth. And so two is the number of division. And what you see is God dividing out His redemption unto the nation of Israel. And there was enough to redeem Israel. But when He was all done, there was 12 baskets left over. 12 in your Bible is the number of perfect government, which is God's perfect purpose for the nation of Israel. His purpose for the nation of Israel is to set up a government over this earth in which the nation of Israel then takes the message of Jesus Christ to the world and brings them into their government. And so 12 is the number of the nation of Israel. And God's purpose here in Jesus Christ coming to the nation of Israel was to come and provide redemption, and it was plenty enough for all of Israel, but even more than that, it was plenty enough for all the nations of the world. And so Israel is to take the leftover and take it out to the Gentiles so that they might be saved. And you know, I'm so thankful to God that there came a time in which God, rather than judging the world to wake Israel up to their spiritual truths, rather than bringing in the end of the world, He just ended His dealings with Israel for a while, saved the Apostle Paul, and sent the Apostle Paul out with the redemption of the Gentiles. And we can still be saved today. We don't have to get it from the nation of Israel. It's been given to us directly by our Apostle Paul, but it's the message of Jesus Christ and how we have complete salvation through Him. He is sufficient for you.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we could be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.